In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. The Acts of the Holy Apostles of our Lord, chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. The beheading of St. James, the brother of John, the sons of Zebedee, and the seizure of Simon the Rock. Let's get into it. Now at that very time, Herod the king, surnamed Agrippa, seized some of the people of the church to oppress them. This was in Jerusalem. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Simon Peter also. This happened during the days of unleavened bread. So he seized him, that is Peter, and put him in prison and delivered him to the care of 16 soldiers to keep him, so that he might deliver him to the Jewish people after the Passover. And while Simon Peter was kept in the prison, continual earnest prayer was offered to him to God by the church. Let's stop there and have a discussion on these verses. Now, who was Herod? Well, Herod was the son of Herod. Herod whom beheaded John the Baptist, Herod whom ordered the slaughter of the 12,000 infants, babies, in search of Christ, wanting to kill Jesus because he was threatened that his throne would be shaken or someone else would be sitting on his throne because he was told that a king was born. But little did he know that the king was his king because Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise be to his name. So this Herod that we are reading about in chapter 12 in the book of Acts is his son. This Herod ordered the trial of Jesus Christ. He put Jesus to trial before the Jewish community. Now James, as I said, was the son of Zebedee. This was not James, the son of Joseph, who was the brother of Jesus Christ, half brother. This was not that James. This James is the son of Zebedee, James and John, who were called by Christ the sons of Zebedee. Now there's a question here, and I'm sure people are asking, and this is why when we read the Holy Scriptures, some people are some way deterred or are skeptical and stop from reading the Scriptures. Why does God permit this death? Why? You know, this could have been, this is early Christian era. This could have been the fifth year, the sixth year after the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to heaven. Why was God allowing this death to happen? You know, some people ask, before we answer that question, let me pose another question asked by non-Christians who debate the divinity of Jesus Christ. Why did not Jesus come out and make it so easy to the whole world, to the Christendom, and say, I am God. Show me in the Bible, people say. Show me in the Bible. Show me in your Bible. Where does Jesus say, I am God? Well, there is two answers to that. Well, show me in my Bible where Jesus says, I am not God. Now, he may allude that he is not the Father, and amen, Jesus is not the Father. Jesus is the Son. But he is by nature divine. He is God. So just imagine, this is 4 years, the 50 after his ascension, and even today, 2024, People are having issues, having difficulties accepting that Jesus is God. Just imagine Christ coming down from heaven onto earth and preaching and claiming that he is God. You know, he said when he healed the leper who was waiting by the pool of Bethsaida, and he was healed, the Jews said to him, you know, they didn't care that 38 years he was just laying by the pool and couldn't get in there because someone else was, preceding him beforehand. And they said to him, why have you taken up your mat and you're walking? This is a Sabbath, you know, totally ignoring the fact that for 38 years this leper couldn't move and now he's moving, he's healed. They were blinded to that. In any case, Jesus says, the Father is working, so I am working. And they said, oh, this is even a greater blasphemy. And they wanted to seek the more to kill him because he made himself to be the Father. No, he didn't. He didn't say, I am the Father. But they want to kill him. So just imagine him coming out and saying, I am God. I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel. I am your creator. I created you. He didn't say that because it wasn't time for that. Because you cannot pour new wine in old wine caskets. You can't do that. However, when we read the Holy Scriptures open-minded, we see that, yes, Jesus is God according to the Scriptures and according to what he claims rightly so that he is God. All of that is the Father's is mine. He who sees me has seen the Father. And more verses like that. So it's the same. Why did God not stop this murder? Why did God allow St. James to be murdered? Now I'm going to be quoting St. John Chrysostom, my favorite. As if it just happened by chance. Like he was persecuting the church in Jerusalem and his eyes caught James, St. James, and he grabbed him and he beheaded him, obviously. Now, if we ask why God permitted this, and again, we're going to look at the Church Father's comments on this, St. John Chrysostom, we see that St. John writes that it was for the sake of the Jews. Through this evil, God was persuading the Jews to come back from their evil. Firstly, from this evil, God wanted to persuade the Jews again and us today that those who die for Jesus Christ, those whose blood is shed for Jesus Christ, have eternal life. It is a victory for them. It is a victory. Christians who die for Jesus Christ, not Christians who die because they have been ignorant or because of their own fault are victorious. No. Christians who die for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ have eternal life. We saw this in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60. Saint Stephen, who was being stoned to death, looked up and saw Jesus, listen to this everyone, saw Jesus standing at his throne. Now, kings are always seated at their throne, but Christ stands up to receive those who are martyred, who shed their blood for his sake. So it goes to show that those who die for God will live with God in eternity. And also, God gives the Jews through this an opportunity after satisfying their anger. Now, they were, you know, the Jews that weren't Christian, they didn't accept Jesus Christ. They were mad at the Jews that received Jesus Christ. You know, they saw them as their enemy. They were angry. So through this, God was attempting, because of free will, obviously, to satisfy them so that they would return back from their madness. Now, let's use this as an example. You know, evil can be used and can cause people to walk away from evil. And I'll give you some examples. You know, one man's evil can be another man's good and holiness. Now, one man's evil, and we're talking Christian here, one man's evil who dies, who receives evil, who accepts punishments and sufferings and death for Jesus Christ, not because of his own fault. St. Peter writes this, if you suffer because it's your fault, I'm paraphrasing, well, don't expect a reward. But if you suffer for no reason, you suffer for Jesus Christ, well, you have a reward. So those who suffer evil, not at their fault, but for the Lord Jesus Christ, according to God's knowledge and permission, and their blood is shed, that could be someone else's holiness. Let me give you an example. We try to persuade people not to text while they're driving. I'm a culprit. Now, I'll confess, I'm a culprit. And at times I do it. And then when I wake up to myself, I just throw the phone on the seat and say, listen, just focus. All right. And you know what? When I do that, after I've done that, I start imagining, God forbid, and you should do this, God forbid, if one day I'm texting and God forbid, I run someone over, how am I going to live with myself? First and foremost, I can't be imprisoned because I'll die in prisons because I'm claustrophobic, right? So I'm thinking of that evil. And that evil then becomes good for me because I throw the phone on the seat so that I do not text and drive. You know, people who love drinking, we call them drunkards. By the way, the scripture says that drunkards, not people who drink alcohol, I drink alcohol. Drunkards will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Listen to this, beloved brothers and sisters. Drunkards will not enter the kingdom of heaven. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. So what you know, when you go to AA Anonymous, Alcoholic Anonymous, what do? They show you videos of car accidents where people have lost their lives, and they're so gruesome at times, like there's bodies hanging out of cars. Why? To show you that when you're drinking and you're a drunkard, and especially when you drink and drive, this could happen. And then that evil could be good where you give up alcohol or you do not become a drunkard. Or when they show you photos of drunkards who are, you know, on the streets, tumbling over, falling over and stumbling and not knowing what they're doing. And then, you know, they wake up in the morning with bruised eye. They're in the hospital. What happened? Because they went up against a bouncer and, you know, because they were drunk and what have you. So the point is that the evil that is shown, is witnessed, could be good for those and bring them back to good. This is why God allowed this, to show the Jews that this is the evil that you are grumbling about. This is what you want. Repent. Come back to good. God also shows through this that James, accepting the martyrdom willfully, because we don't read that James was arguing his case, it shows that he consented to that. With happiness. Why? Because the head of each person is Jesus Christ. James had two heads, beloved. He had the physical head that we all have, and he has the spiritual head, which is Jesus Christ. Every Christian has a head that is called Jesus Christ. Now, James was happy and was James was under pressure to have his spiritual head cut off, but he refused that and said, no, decapitate me. Get rid of the physical head because I have the Lord Jesus Christ. It is true for every person, every Christian, that Christ is our head, and that's through faith. During the ISIS attacks, beloved, how many Christians were beheaded? Do you remember the Coptic brothers by the seashore who were beheaded for Jesus Christ? Yeah, they lost their physical head, but they sustained that spiritual head, which was Jesus Christ. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians verses 11 chapter 11, verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is the Messiah, that is Jesus Christ. Praise be to his name. And being our head, being our Lord, being our God, being our Savior, being our King, our Forgiver, our Life Giver, we need to preserve, regardless of where we go in life. I've mentioned, I believe, that after a child is baptized and has been gifted with the provisions of the Holy Spirit, gift of the Holy Spirit, and has received the Holy Spirit, we place a crown on the head of the child. And the crowns are in the form of ribbons, a red and a white ribbon, the white, you know, symbolizing the holiness, the cleansingness, the red symbolizing martyrdom, red. And the liturgy instructs that the ribbon is to be tied on the head with the remainder of the ribbons to be hanging before the eyes of the child, which denotes that we at all times hold before our eyes the cleanliness, the holiness that we have received in baptism, but at the same time, it is at all times before our eyes, in our minds, in our hearts, reminding us that death is inevitable. And not only natural death and death caused by disasters or accidents, but no, the death which entails the shedding of the blood. This is what we learned. This is early church, beloved, early church. The death of the shedding of blood. Verses 3 and 4, and when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Simon Peter also. This happened during the days of the unleavened bread, and he seized him. And, you know, wasn't one soldier or two soldiers sufficient for him? He placed 16 soldiers, because there were four groups of soldiers. Each group had four, not 24. Four times four is 16. 16 soldiers. He really wanted this guy to be imprisoned. But the question is, how is it that he didn't kill Peter immediately? Well, the reason is there. It was at the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which was before Pentecost. Now, the Day of Unleavened Bread, which was also known as the Feast of the Unleavened Bread or the Matzah, was 7 days festival that took place between Passover and the Feast of Pentecost. And the festival commemorated the Exodus, the going out of the people of God, the Israelites who were freed, the Jews who were freed from slavery in Egypt. But the more likely reason is that he wanted to make a spectacle of the slaughter. He wanted to really put that slaughter on show to bring fear to the Jews. And the question there arises is that why didn't the Jews, being mad and angry, they were happy at what happened to St. James, why didn't they plead as they pleaded with his father? The Pharisees and the Jewish priests pleaded with his father, with Herod's father, to release Barabbas and to give him Jesus so that they could crucify him. And they proclaimed to date, that the blood of Jesus Christ, the innocence of the death of Jesus Christ, or the evil that was behind the death of Jesus Christ, that blood, the innocence, was upon them and upon their children. Why didn't they say the same thing? Well, maybe they had learned of Gamaliel. Gamaliel, who was the teacher of St. Paul, of Saul, when they were wanting to put we read in the book of Acts, the apostles to death, he says, does our law allow us to execute someone or to put someone to death before examining them? Shouldn't we first examine them? We don't want the sin of their blood upon us. We don't want that. We don't want to do what our forefathers have proclaimed upon us. No. So they may have adhered to his instructions, abstaining from bloodshedding. They didn't even try to accuse Simon, but they saw that what they wanted was already happening too by the hands of Herod. They were quite conniving, you know, very smart people. They didn't want to get involved in it, but they were joyous. You know, sometimes we see evil happening in our lives. We see evil on the street. We see evil everywhere. And we don't want to get involved. Why? Because we don't want to have a partaking in that evil. Well, sometimes maybe we need to get involved to stop evil. For example, when you see someone bashing someone on the street, being quite physical, well, how about you try to maybe bring peace? How about you don't pull out your cell phone, and start videoing a student bashing another student at school? My beloved students, that's evil. And you are a partaker of that evil, by the way. If you are taking joy in the suffering of another person, you are partaker of that person who's causing the suffering. In place of taking out your cell phone and videographing it and laughing at it and posting it on your TikTok or Instagram, why not try to be a child of God or a human being? Why not be, we say in Assyrian, anasha, a human being, and try to stop that, because that is evil. See, these people didn't try to stop that. They were more joyous, but yet they didn't want to have anything to do with it. So, you know, I didn't bash. I had nothing to do with this. I was just videographing. I was just capturing it because one day I wanted to look at it and enjoy it and place it on social media, post it on social media so that everyone could enjoy seeing a student being bashed or being bullied. That is evil, beloved. That is still evil. So Simon is captured. Simon didn't try to, plead his case. He's captured humbly again because Jesus had already told Simon, Simon, you know, when you were young, you would wear your own clothes and you would go to places where you wanted to. But there's going to be a time where you're going to be bound and you're going to be taken to places where you did not want to go. And here it is, he's going to prison. And Simon would have accepted it gladly. And God allowed that as well to show that we must gladly accept persecutions, accusations for Christ's sake, beloved, because we're going to read how God works in this after Simon is in prison. Verse 5, and while Simon Peter was kept in the prison, pray without ceasing, St. Paul writes, continual prayer was offered for him to God by the church. Continual prayer. You know, that's why St. Paul writes that we must pray without ceasing, because Saul or St. Paul was aware of Simon being captured and how prayer is going to be the cause, the weapon, the armor for Simon to be released from, not escape, but to be released from prison. Prayer arising from a love to a father. He was their father. He was their apostle. You know, earnestly, beloved, it was made earnestly out of love, heartfelt love for this person. You know, when we pray earnestly, when you love someone, and remember, we must all love one another, not just our parents and our best friends and brothers and sisters and wives and husbands and children. No, no, no. By this, they will know that you are my disciples, Christ writes, that you love one another. If we have genuine love for one another, we will pray earnestly for one another. And continually we will pray for one another until God replies. And it could take time according to God's perfect timing, perfect will, and perfect way. And not according to how we want the prayer to be answered, beloved. You pray for a sick person. You pray for a sick friend, family friend, for a relative. You continue to pray. You don't cease praying. But when the Lord says, I've now heard your prayer, now your Father is going to come to me, praise and glory be to his name. God hasn't promised that we will receive according to what we want, how we want. That's why Jesus teaches us, thy will be done. When you pray, you say, thy kingdom come, thy will, your will be done. Earnest prayer, beloved. It would have been a very, very hectic time. They just witnessed St. James being beheaded, basically, decapitated. And St. Peter has been seized. They're probably thinking, that's it. It's done. It's finished. Now all the disciples, everyone's going to be persecuted. They didn't complain. They didn't, create a coup or an uproar. But they turned to prayer. They didn't start to begin to work on how we're going to, plan a release for Simon, how we're going to go and help him escape for Simon. No, they just prayed. They committed it to God. And we see this with the disciples, with the church, especially in Acts, in the book of Acts. When they came to fulfill or to fill the place of Judas, They prayed, and then they cast lots. So this is a great example within the church. This is within the church. We have issues within the church. Why don't we pray about it? As opposed to taking sides and propaganding, if that's a word, Stephen, campaigning for. No, why don't we pray about that? Because prayer is that true alliance, and it's unbeatable. It is a place of refuge for when we are truly in desperate need. They didn't say, I'm not worthy. Do you think God's going to hear me? Of course. Listen, if God hears the prayers of those who are not his children yet, because they haven't received his son and been baptized, but he hears their prayer when they're praying to the Lord to show them the truth, he listens to their prayers. And he sends his son, praise be to his name, and they see Jesus Christ, no one else, Jesus Christ. And then they come to the knowledge and the understanding of God through Jesus Christ. They receive baptism. They proclaim him to be their Lord and Savior, and they receive baptism. How much more God the Father will hear your prayers? The prayer of the persistent widower or the evil judge. God says, do you not think that God, if this evil judge, for his own benefit, made a judgment and passed his judgment for the widower, how much more God will listen to those who call him day and night, his children day and night, and he will reply according to his will, according to his timing, according to his purpose and his glory. They prayed because they acted out of love, beloved. And because they acted out of love, nothing else went through their minds as to how we can help our Father, St. Peter, but just prayer. Prayer, St. John Chrysostom writes, and this was posted on my Facebook page, prayer is the place of refuge for every worry, a foundation for cheerfulness, a source of constant happiness and protection against sadness. So, beloved, early stages of the church, early eras of the church, 50, maybe the 60th or the 10th year after the ascension, not maybe the first decade, within the first decade, there is persecution. There is execution. There is capturing, beloved. There is evil. So how much more today? Yes, the church is being attacked even more today, more so today. Maybe not so much beheading in the Western countries. This you see in the Islamic Eastern countries. But the church is spiritually being attacked today in the Western countries, beloved. What do we do? People say, we should demonstrate, we should come out in our numbers. Does that really help? Does it really help? In numbers, yeah. If the entire country comes out and demonstrates, yes, it will help because you got the 320 million votes there, right? But 10,000 people, 2,000 people, 1 million people demonstrating peacefully according to their civil rights, fine, okay. What does that do? How about we resort to prayer Remember, there's always going to be persecutions, and they're going to be even more intensified as the days go by, beloved. What do? Come together in earnest prayer. And remember, we can lose the physical head, but always be prepared to preserve the spiritual head. That is our faith in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise and glory be to his name now and at all times and forever. Amen.
Enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.